Bibles to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. I believe the scriptures are also printed on the back of your song sheet if you'd like to follow along there. But once you find your place and your copy of scripture, would you please stand as we read our sermon text this morning? Galatians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. This is God's Word. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for giving to us Your precious Word, a gift, a treasure. Your Word tells us who You are. Your Word shows us our need. Your Word reveals to us the way of salvation. Your Word is a lamp for our feet, a light for our path. Open our hearts to receive it and to believe it. I pray that You would give me grace to preach faithfully and truthfully. I pray that You would give grace to the congregation to hear and receive. And I pray especially that You would give the gift of salvation to those who are lost and that You would add to Your church. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. What does it mean to live the Christian life? What is Christian living? Galatians 2, 20 and 21 summarizes the essence of Christian living for us. It begins not with us, but with Christ. We're told that Christ loves us and He gave Himself for us. The Christian life always begins with Jesus. It's not necessarily, it doesn't begin with us, it doesn't begin with our needs, it doesn't begin with our problems. Those are all things that are of concern and importance, but not primary importance. The gospel begins with God. And you and I need to understand that today. You and I need to understand that Jesus loves you. You need to know today that Jesus gave His life for you because He loves you. Would you turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus loves you? All right, now some of you are starting to think, okay, yeah. Jesus loves you. Some of you find that hard to believe because you don't feel very loved. You don't feel lovely. You don't feel lovable. This morning, the good news of the gospel is Jesus loves you. From beginning of creation, before creation, God set His love upon you. The Bible tells us that in creation, God made you in His image. And that means, in part, God made you to have a relationship with Him. Unlike dogs and cats and birds and whales and penguins and koala bears, God made you to know Him and relate to Him in communion and fellowship because God chooses to love you unlike He loves the rest of creation in a way unique from the rest of all that He has made. Christ loves us. But sin has come. And sin has defaced and defiled everything. It has wrecked and ruined all things. your sin, my sin, our collective sin, the sin of this world. It's ruined it all, yet God continues to love. He chooses to love sinners. And after sin, after the fall, God established a series of covenants and set in motion the plan of salvation to redeem a sinful and fallen people. To this day, Christ loves you. And all that happens in your life is intended to display God's love. It's intended to get your attention, to bring you to the love of Christ. This morning, if you are a Christian, all that He does for you is out of love. He forgives you because He loves you. He sanctifies you because He loves you. He strengthens you because He loves you. He cherishes and values you because He loves you. And He even disciplines you because He loves you. Christ loves us, and because He loves us, He gave His life for us. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus died for you. That is the greatest news, the greatest truth people need to hear today. Jesus loves you and He died for you. If you're a Christian here this morning, you need to go tell people that. People need to hear that. People need to know that. They need to know that Jesus loves them and He died for them. That coworker that you have that has been struggling, they need to know that there is a God who loves them and a God who died for them to save them and make that person His child. That person that you can't stand and get so irritated and angry with and perturbed by, you need to remind yourself Jesus loves him and He died for him. When you're dealing with those rascally kids and they're on your last loving nerve, you need to tell yourself Jesus loves her and He died for her. We need to see all people in the light of this truth that Jesus loves us. That's what the Bible here tells us. Jesus loved me and gave Himself for me. Though He loves us, righteousness demands just condemnation of our sin because we have all sinned. We have all fallen short of God's glory. But Jesus died to take the penalty. He died to take our place. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us, and He willingly went to the cross. He laid down His life of His own free will. It was not taken from Him. He gave it because He loves us. Because Christ loves us, because He gave His life for us, we are able to be saved. We receive the gift of salvation by faith in Him. We turn from our sins. We trust in Jesus. We give our lives to Him. And it is all by faith. It's not because you've done enough to deserve His grace. It's not because you have earned salvation. It's not because you are better than other people. It is a gift that comes from Him to you. And you simply receive it by trusting in Him. This is the beginning of the Christian life. This is the heart of the gospel. And when you receive it, when you believe it, when you know that Christ loves you and He gave His life for you and you by faith appropriated it in your life, two things happen. In salvation, number one, Christians have been crucified with Christ. This is what it means to be a Christian. It means that you have been crucified with Christ. When you put your faith in Jesus, you are embracing His cross. He paid the debt for us. He took our place. But in salvation, it is as if our old lives are hanging with Jesus as He hung on the cross for us. I have been crucified with Christ. I've been crucified with the One who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's what it means to be a Christian, first of all. That we've died with Christ. to be crucified with Christ, to die with Christ, means, first of all, that the penalty of the law is removed. You know, you go back and you read in the Old Testament. Maybe you're reading through the Old Testament right now. Maybe you're reminding yourself of the Ten Commandments, the law of God, thou shalt not, and thou shalt, all those do's and don'ts. And you're reminded of all the ways we have sinned against God. The law demands that we be judged and be punished because of our sin. But Jesus on the cross took care of our indebtedness to the law, and so it no longer penalizes us. And because we have died with Christ, because we've been crucified with Christ, the penalty that the law requires of us has been removed. The law is not some loan shark hanging around ready to bust your kneecaps because you owe a debt. It's been taken care of. Debt collectors don't show up at the cemetery. You realize that, right? They don't come around trying to get money out of a coffin because there's none there. When we have been crucified with Christ, the law no longer has the power to exact a penalty and payment from us because we've died with Him. The penalty's been paid by Jesus and we're dead to the law. Secondly, to die with Christ, to be crucified with Christ, means that the power of sin is removed. Before salvation, before you were converted, before you became a believer, you could not keep from sinning. You were on the leash to sin, and it would drag you around. You would do things that you knew you did not want to do, but you would do them anyway. And you did things you knew you shouldn't do, but you did them because you wanted to. You could not escape the power of sin in your life. Sin had mastery over you. You were a slave to sin. But after salvation, when you come to faith in Christ, you have been crucified with Christ, and sin no longer has power over you. As a Christian, you have the power to resist sin and temptation. Now, I want you to think about your weakness for just a minute. How many of you would say your weakness is sweets? We got a few people. How many of you would say it's fishing? Some people, yeah, I got a couple of guys. Golf. How about shopping? Yeah. Think about your weakness, that thing that you just cannot resist. Cookie dough ice cream. Chocolate cherry cheesecake, you know, whatever it is. You think about that thing that you cannot resist. If you were to die and we were to lay you out right here, we could parade all of the things that tempt you. Maybe it's money. A big stack of $100 bills comes past you as you lay there dead. Does that revive you? No. Maybe it's those sweets. Does that stir you? No. You bring the most beautiful women, the most beautiful men past you? Nothing. Why? Because you've died. Those things have no power over you. When you die as a Christian, when you come to faith in Christ, your old life is dead and sin no longer has power over you. Before you were a Christian, you could not resist temptation. You could not resist sin. It would just drag you along. But when you die with Christ, when you are crucified with Christ, sin's power is broken, and you can now say no to the temptation that comes. There's a third thing that happens when we're crucified with Christ. The priority of self dies and comes to an end. Before salvation, we live only for ourselves. Our desires and impulses drive us. We are self-centered, we are selfish, and everything about us is all about us before salvation. We live for ourselves. Even when it looks to others that we are trying to serve and help other people, our motive is for ourselves, to make us look good, to make us feel good, to satisfy the desires that we have in our lives. Before salvation, we live for ourselves. But when we come to faith in Christ and we are crucified with Him, the priority of self dies and something takes its place. This is what Jesus means when He says, if anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. It's no longer me, it's no longer my plan, my way, it's God's plan. It's God's agenda, it's God's way for us. So that's what has died. The penalty of the law, the power of sin, the priority of self. That's gone because we've been crucified with Christ. But Galatians 2:20 and 21 goes on to tell us that not only have we died with Christ, but we have been raised with Christ. We've been raised to new life. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. In salvation, we have been raised to new life with Christ. Jesus died for our sins, but then He rose from the grave. In our three circles training, we have been reminded. We've been going through it during Sunday school. And if you've not been a part, I invite you to come and join us. And we'll go through it with you too. Talk to one of these. If you're going through three circles right now, put your hand up. Yeah, there you go. If you don't know what I'm talking about, find one of these people with their hands up and talk to them. We have learned in our three circles training that it's important not just to talk about how Jesus died for our sins, but He rose from the dead. When Jesus rose from the dead, He rose to give us life. It's not that we just say no to all this stuff, but we say yes to something better, yes to something new. Jesus died for our sins, He rose from the grave, and we, by faith, have been raised with Him. This means the penalty of the law is gone, but we now have a growing desire to live for God. The law is no longer something we are afraid of and run away from, but it's something that we love and cherish because it shows us the holy character and nature of God. The Ten Commandments are not an albatross that weigh us down, but become a path for godly living. When you've been raised with Christ, you don't live in a way that says, hey, I don't have to keep those stinking Ten Commandments now. You've been raised with Christ and you say, I want to do these things. I want to honor my marriage. I want to be a good neighbor. I want to put God first. I don't want anything above God. The resurrected life seeks to fulfill the law, not out of a mandate, not out of a necessity, not out of trying to escape punishment, but instead because of the righteousness that we have in Christ. We want to reflect His character. So we have this growing desire to live for God. Secondly, in the raised life, the resurrection life that we have with Christ, the power of sin is gone, but the power of holiness is growing within us. We have this fresh start. The old is gone, but the new has come. Well, maybe this raises a question in your mind. What about ongoing sin? If the power of sin is dead and the power of holiness is alive in me, why do I still struggle with sin? Have you ever wondered that? Have you ever asked yourself, why do I keep sinning as a Christian? We're taught in Scripture that we are justified. In other words, we are declared to be not guilty of sin and at the same time righteous before God. Yet, in our experience, we still have these sins. And sometimes it's the same sin that keeps cropping up over and over again. Why is that? Why is it that day by day sin still besets us? For the Christian, we fight against it. We wrestle against sin. Not to gain or to keep salvation, but because we already have salvation. We are still in the body, as our text tells us. And we live by faith. We are simultaneously justified before God, yet we remain in a sinful world, in a sinful condition. The difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is not that Christians don't sin, and non-Christians do sin. It's that Christians fight against their sin. Christians hate their sin. They loathe their sin. As a Christian, your desire is to not ever sin. When you do sin, you repent. You turn back to the Lord. This is the new life, the desire to be righteous and godly. The power of sin is gone. The desire for holiness grows. A guy named Jerry Bridges years ago wrote a book called The Pursuit of Holiness, and he had a very helpful little chart. It's one of those old line charts. And the up and down axis, the up and down part, shows your awareness of sin. And the horizontal part shows your growth and desire for holiness. The longer that you live as a Christian, the more you're going to want to be holy. The more you're going to want to be like Jesus. But as time goes on, the more aware of how much sin is in your life that you have. That's really important for us to remember. Because you see, as you grow as a Christian, you will continue to face and wrestle with your sin. And even as you make progress in combating sin in your life, you're going to become aware of more and more sin in your life that has to be dealt with. Part of the resurrection life is that unending quest to eradicate sin in your life for the glory of God. You never stop the battle. You never stop trying. You never stop wrestling. That's the mark of the raised life, a desire to grow in holiness. The penalty of the law is gone, and we have a desire to live for God. The power of sin is gone, but the power of holiness is growing in us. And third, in the raised life, the resurrected life, the priority of self is gone, but it's been replaced by the priority of Christ. For us to live is Christ. Romans 12 tells us that we are living sacrifices. We are living for Him. Now the reason that all of this takes place, the reason that we have been crucified with Christ and we've been raised to the new life, is because of what He has done for us. He loves us. He gave Himself for us. And because of this, because of the new life that we have in Christ, we continue to glory and rejoice in God's grace in Christ's cross. Verse 21, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. We are debtors to grace. We do not claim credit for any good thing in us, but we give all glory to Christ. The grace of God is His free gift to us. It's the righteousness that He imputes to us through Jesus. And if we think that we can be good enough and strong enough and noble enough to earn salvation, then what we've said is, Jesus, Your death for me really didn't matter. Totally unnecessary. And we've set it aside. Anytime we say, you know what, Jesus, we need Your cross, but you know what, You also need what I can contribute, we're setting aside the cross of Christ. How dare we? How could we? The Christian life begins with God's love for you, Christ's death for you, being crucified with Christ by faith, being raised to new life by faith, and then always glorying, always exulting in the grace of God and the cross of Jesus. That is our only boast. That is our only hope. That is our message. That is how we live Does that describe you today? Is that your life? Is that what Christianity is for you? Or is it a bunch of do's and don'ts? Is it just some church services? Is it a box that you tick off? Or is it your identity? Is it who you are? Is this what you glory in? Friend, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, I invite you to put your trust and faith in Jesus, who loved you and gave Himself for you. The only way to have peace with God, the only way to have eternal life, is through trusting Jesus. If you're a Christian here today, if you put your faith and trust in Him, I invite you to identify with Jesus through baptism. Baptism doesn't save you. But baptism is the demonstration that you put your hope in Jesus alone and that you've given your life to Him and that He's given His life to you. I invite you to join the church, to become a part of us as we live this Christian life together, as we go out to try to make more Christians, as we proclaim the gospel. I urge you to go share this message with other people. There is someone you're going to see this week. You're going to talk to somebody this week who needs to hear Jesus loved you and Jesus gave His life for you. Will you share that with somebody this week? Let's bow our heads. We're going to sing a closing song. And I'd love to pray with you if you need prayer. I'd love to talk to you about what it means to be a Christian. I'd love to encourage you to live your Christian life. So I'll be down here. If you want prayer, if you need to talk, I'll visit with you. I'd especially love to visit with you after the service. Whatever the Lord would have you to do, would you do it? Heavenly Father, we pray. We pray that we would not set aside Your grace, but that we would always glory in the cross. May our testimony, the testimony of every person, man, woman, boy, and girl, be that we've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet not I, but Christ lives in us. The life that we live in the flesh, we live by faith in the Son of God who loves us and gave Himself for us. May this truth shape our lives. May it define who we are. We ask this in Jesus' name.